You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 8. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, and all that you're doing. So deal with our heads and hearts and the children and each one of us and people on the road, people that are sick, people that whatever. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of Hebrews, we've reached chapter 8, and the God is making it very clear, like in verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator, the middleman, the go-between, the arbitrator, the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And in light of the better covenant, there are better promises. So that's what we're going to pick up. Now, in the light of that, as we did it, picking up in verse, I'll read verse 7 for the sake of reading it. For if that first covenant had been faultless, without problems, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now the word if is second class, which means it isn't true. If and it isn't true. That's what you want to know. Second class. If and it is true, first class. If and it's second class, if and it is not true. Third class, if and it may be and may not be. Okay, anyway, not that you care. But you need to know that if means if, and it isn't so. The first covenant, the Mosaic Law, is faultless. Therefore, the conclusion, you have to have a second. The first doesn't work. You have to have a replacement, the second. So therefore, verse 7, if that first covenant that had been faultless, If it had been, and it wasn't, then you wouldn't need a second covenant. If the first is perfect, who needs a second? You don't need a second. So, then, in verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now remember now, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. He's quoting it. So, Spirit of God, all that you read in the pages earlier doesn't disappear. All of it is true and valid, and you need to put it together and keep it together. So in what's going on? That's like in for tonight, for the foreboding in the light of the foreknowing. Foreboding. Bad news. Bad news. Foreboding. Not good. And it's real. Now, so therefore, in verse 8, God's going to replace it with a new covenant. A new covenant, a better covenant in verse 6, a new in verse 8. Therefore, in verse 9, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, two things we looked at. In my hand, I led them out by hand. And if you were to go back, which we may not do that, Numbers 14, what do we know? God led them. He made them wander. He took care of them as the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep didn't go anywhere. They just went around and around in the Sinai Peninsula. That's what they did for 38 years. And he wandered, he shepherded them. In other words, as they're going around and around, and remember they're going by the tabernacle and the cloud, the Shekinah glory that came out of the Holy of Holies, and the fire by night and cloud by day. And whenever that fire moved, or the cloud, they moved. When the cloud stood still, they stood still. They'd stay there a whole month, they could stay there 2 months, whatever. But when the cloud moves, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you move. Everyone get up and move. They were taught to pay attention, to take heed to God. And when God wants to do something, say something, do it, hear it. So here they are, they're governed by that cloud. And they pack up, 2 o'clock in the morning, they pack up and go to wherever. He led them by his hand. He shepherded them. He took them. That's how he did. They were there. They didn't go anywhere. But boy, he was on the job as the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, having said that, we then shared together that God, every time we read these wonderful truths of God's handling things, in the yesterday, how God handled the old yesterday in history, God isn't changed. So God's the same. So when I learn, as I learn to understand God yesterday, he's going to be the same today. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So he's going to be the same tomorrow. So once I understand God, that's what the whole point is, to understand God, to be comfortable with God. And you know what he does. So what you know what he did back here, it's the same God up here. So therefore we share together in John 10 and that. And what do we see in John 10 and that? And the Lord Jesus said, God said, I my sheep hear my voice and they follow me wherever I go. You can turn there just for the, see if it's still there. Could say it, but read it. John 10. Remember, John 10 is about the shepherd, the good shepherd. So what about John 10, the good shepherd? The good shepherd takes care of the sheep. They're his sheep. And in picking up, please, in verse 25, for a little context at this point, Jesus answered them and told, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But if you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep, the difference between my sheep and just other people, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they never, never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And verse 30, conclusion, I and my Father are one, the same hand, as we shared last time. It's the same hand. So God, he leads. God shepherds. Even Israel, when they're way out, he shepherds them. Now he keeps them. And we share together in Romans 8 and 14 the Spirit of God, do that one. Why not? Refresh our mind. Romans 8. And picking up, please, Romans 8 and in verse 14. Wonderful chapter on God's wonderful working in the heart. Verse 14, as for as many as are led, the word led, rule, to govern, as many as are led, ruled, governed by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can pluck them out of his hand. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, he's the shepherd of the sheep, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to tend the sheep and to rule over them, to guide, to keep them, to take them. He leads them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And remember Galatians 5:18, you have to turn there. As many as are led by the Spirit of, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they walk, know the Spirit of God, they're going to walk by the Spirit of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. It's this wonderful ministry. And the people in the wilderness for 40, 38 years had no sense. Oh, they knew cloud, fire, God's activity, no question. But they didn't ever, and the clothes never wore out, the shoes never worn out, they never got sick, they never had a shortage of water, food, anything. They never had a problem for 40 years. That's wonderful. And if you didn't get that, Moses was up on the mount in the fire 40 days and 40 nights without anything, in the fire. And he did fine. And that's why God takes us, taking that thought, and God brings us into heaven and saves us. Our God is a consuming fire. And we're saved by fire. We're judged by fire. And therefore, we don't need an asbestos suit in heaven, because you're quite comfortable with God's holy fire, his awesomeness. You're going to be quite comfortable with a God who is beyond our understanding. Wonderful. Now, so as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, having said that, back over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 8, and you'll notice the second thing in verse 9, he led them out of the land of Egypt by his hand. But in the middle of verse 9, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because God's wonderful way of working and grace and mercy, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. They did not honor me, and I did not honor them. I did not honor them. Now God led them. So I'm trying to get the connection in my little head. God kept them, God loved them, but God didn't honor them. What they were doing and how they were doing, they were not honored. Now how did that work out in a practical way, in the light of that? Over, if you would please, over to Hebrews in chapter 2. To care for, not to neglect. The word neglect, to care for, to be concerned, care for. So Hebrews chapter 2, picking up please, in verse 3. How shall we escape, book of Hebrews, if we, believers, neglect, see the word neglect, care. How shall we escape if we neglect, if we don't care? God said if they cared, I would care, but they don't care. So I don't care. So how does that work out? How shall we escape if we neglect, don't care, so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So here we are looking, God, not to care, to have a concern, but not no concern. Over, if you would, to pick up the thought so you'll see it, how it works. Over to John chapter 10 again. And we're looking at a little word to understand how it works. This business of, I will not regard them. I will not care. Okay. If we don't care about being, how wonderful it is to be saved, if we don't care about it, how shall we escape if we don't go forward? There is none. Chapter 10, picking up, please. In verse 13, remember the good shepherd again. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. There's your little word. The hireling, he's hired, he doesn't care about the sheep. He has a job, he gets his pay, and goes home to bed. He doesn't care. The sheep, wolves, whatever, come, so they come. But it isn't his responsibility. No. God, it is his responsibility. But the good shepherd, the people that should be watching the sheep, they just don't care. It isn't theirs. People that work for a company, it used to be, I shared it with somebody the other day, years ago when I was going to school. I think I told you this 100 years ago. You'll never remember it if I told you. I think about it. I told you this 55 years ago, right? Now, who remembers 55 years ago when I told you this, see? So forget that. Anyway, I used to work for Sanborn Company when I was going to school, and we made the stylus arms, among other things, the big units that measure everything, and the arms that go back and forth like this. And in the process, the Sanborn Company back then had a profit sharing so that everyone that worked for the company, everyone that worked, shared the profits. If the company made $1 million, the $1 million is dispersed among all the employees. They get it. And what that does is give you incentive. If the guy next to you is goofing off, he's cutting into your profits. So you bug everybody to make sure they do the job. But everyone gets something. It's worth it. It's our business. If I'm just an employee, I don't get anything. The company, the boss, whether they sell something or not, whether it works or not, I don't know that. Wow. So in the process, that God, the employee doesn't care. Go over with me while you're here, chapter 12. And then chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 6. Here's Judas. And here's the ointment over our Lord. Mary poured the ointment over our Lord, etc. And then Judas responded. This he said, not, I'll read verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor. He didn't care 2 cents for the poor. And all the government, lots of things you hear out of the reasons for things. We don't care. They don't care. They don't care. The system. Judas didn't care. He cared about, we got to take care of the poor, we got to feed them and everything, we got to care. But we really don't care. We're just using it for control and power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lousy system. That's Judas. Judas said, we care. Judas, you don't care 2 cents about the poor. we care. That's humans. Humans care. So when we come to our Lord, looking in God's wonderful, wonderful working, he cares. So the best way to get that fast and put it together is 1 Peter. First Peter, if I can, in chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, picking up, please, in, you know it, but let's just put it together. Verse 7. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care, all your thoughts that are divided, all the things you're concerned about, divided mind and heart, thoughts, casting all your care upon him, for he, and there's your little word for God's, for he careth for you. God cares, but they didn't care, so God didn't care. But God does care. God does care. So what are we going to do? We cast all our care upon him because he cares. Now, they weren't doing that. They were not doing that. They'd be like Judas, perhaps. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now let's put it together on how it works in the light of Israel. Going back with me over, you know in Deuteronomy 4 and 28 and all that stuff, in there that Israel was to, when they're going to be scattered all over like they were, the Assyrian, Babylonian, Titus, all of those things. When they're scattered all over, God said, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's what you do. If you seek me, you'll find me. That's the promise. Now, here's moving forward, the Assyrian captivity, the 10 tribes in the north. And now, 136 years later, we're moving approximately, we're coming forward. And we have the two tribes in the south with Nebuchadnezzar going to level the city. Therefore, how does it work, God? You said, if they just cared, but they didn't care. So I don't care. But God, translate that down so I see it. How much don't you care? How much do you care? Don't you care? Do you care? Over, if you would please, to Hebrews, that's Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, picking up, please, in the chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Picking up, if I can, in verse 24, you'll catch it. But, I'll read verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and will ye in all the ways which I commanded you, that it may be well with you. But, contrast, they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel of the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day, remember this is all the time, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, they stood on the other side of the Red Sea before they crossed, and murmured and mumbled and complained, that why they would have been better to stay in Egypt, because here comes the Egyptian army. And they start. So when did they start? They were glad to look like it got out of Egypt, but then when you come up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, maybe it was better that we stayed. So therefore, since verse 25, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. So God, you don't care. They're going in the wrong direction. They're always going in the wrong direction, but you always care. But you don't care like you could have cared. Like what? When they were in the wilderness, you took care of them totally. But now, and they didn't even pay attention. Now they're supposed to be looking to you intelligently, and they aren't. And therefore, you don't care, but you do. So therefore, you have a wonderful plan and purpose, and God's going to keep it. No matter how much Israel goofs, how much they fail, God's going to keep his plan. So for you. God's wonderful plan for your life that he had before the foundation of the world. He didn't throw it away. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are entitled to have it. If you reject Christ, you lose it. But if you believe, God's going to finish. Philippians 1:6. He which hath begun a good work in you is going to finish it. Philippians 1:6. Even if you're stupid, and it is goof for your whole life, you're going to be saved as what? Philippians, 1 Corinthians 3:15. Saved as by what? Fire. You got nothing, but you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. You got nothing. It's wonderful to be saved. I think it is. I'm just glad I'm saved. That's all I'm going to do. You got it? Wow. Now, you got the idea. God cares. God doesn't care, but God does care. Watch it again. Or if I can, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 7, you'll see it. Then I went to the Euphrates and digged. This is Jeremiah giving his assignment to show Israel. And digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing, nothing. So God is going to show Israel, here's a nice piece of girdle, a cloth, a wonderful thing. And it's a perfect, wonderful thing. Go stick it in a hole near the Euphrates, put it in the ground, and leave it. Then come back and see what kind of condition it's in. Well, it's no good anymore. That's what Israel did to show, that's what Jeremiah did to show Israel. Remember, we did all this to show Israel. And then he brought, here's the garment. What it could have been, what you could have had, but this is what you're going to end up with. Now, having said that, chapter 21. And verse 10. I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. That's what's going to happen. Now, so that's the negative part. Well, does God want to burn the city? No, but he's going to have to burn the city. So chapter 25. They aren't getting the best, obviously. They're just getting by. Chapter 25 and in verse 4. 25 and verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again, and everyone from his evil way, and from the evil of your doing. In other words, turn around, repent, go a different direction, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, the idols. And I will do you no hurt. But if you keep going, I'm going to let you reap what you sow. Now, verse 7. You have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke. You have yet not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with your works by your hands to your own hurt. In other words, you're going to lose out. And the whole point, back over to 31, remember our study in Jeremiah, if you can. Study in Jeremiah on Wednesday. And you'll remember what we did. Chapter 31, verse 20. 31 and verse 20. And you'll note, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I did. I said all these things. He's going to lose the city. I do earnestly remember him still. In other words, I never lost my plan. I never lost my love. I never lost what I was going about. I'm going to do it. But in the meantime, you may lose out in the process in what I do and how I do. So therefore, keep that in mind, verse 20. I do not. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. I'm certainly going to finish what I start. I'm certainly going to do that. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so back over if I can, in the light of that, back to chapter 30, Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter 8, picking up, please. God's looking now. They needed to honor God. They didn't. And the end of verse 8, well, let me do it a little more then. In verse 9, just picking up the clause, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I didn't regard them. What didn't they do? What did they fail to do? They failed to honor God. Now, in the light of that, there's a little word that's coming up called obey, O-B-E-Y. Obey. Obey. It's a command. Obey. In this sense, present tense command. Obey. Be obeying. Now, what does it mean to obey? To think about it. I don't know. We say obey. Well, let's think about it a sec. I'm going to think about it. See what you think. I'd like to understand words, meaning. Okay, obey. God, what am I going to do? Why, how do I obey? Over, if you would, Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. And picking up in Exodus chapter 5, if I may. And in chapter 5, here is Pharaoh answering Moses, answering God. And he uses this word, obey. Chapter 5, verse 2 of Exodus. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey the voice of and to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I don't know the person, and I'm not going to do anyway what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to let you go, but I'm not going to let you go. And by the way, I don't know God. So I'm not going to obey. The word obey, to hear with the ear, to hear. He that hath an ear to hear, watch it. Watch how it comes out. Now, having said that, keep me that in mind. Over, if you would please, if I can, Exodus chapter 24, since you're in Exodus. Remember what Israel did. Now, we get Israel got saved in a most wonderful way. And by the way, allow me, go back to, hold your finger here, and go back to 19. And let's go 1-2. Exodus 19. And you will note Exodus 19 and in verse 5. Remember, this is the wonderful promise to Israel without the law. Verse 5. 19, 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure, special, prize, privilege, personal, peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I want you to obey. That's all. If you just obey what? My voice. I'm going to say something. Hear me. Do you hear me? Then show that you hear me. Do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say you love me, keep my word. Are you hearing me with the ear? That's the point. Am I hearing God? A hearing. So, chapter 24. That's what God's told them to do. And there's no legislation, by the way. There's no law. The Ten Commandments would have never happened if they had just heard and obeyed. But they didn't. They just, all they had to do, think of the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2 and 17, of every tree you can eat, we said this the other day, of all the trees you can eat in the garden, everything, anywhere, whatever you want, just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can climb the tree, you can pick the fruit, don't eat it. That's all. Don't eat that fruit. One thing to show that you hear me. Do you hear me? Show that you hear me. Obey. Empty the wastebasket. You see, ever said that? You know. And then 2 days later, the wastebasket's overflowing. So I thought I told you to empty the wastebasket. You didn't hear me. Empty the wastebasket. If you heard me, you would have emptied the wastebasket. Now, back over to chapter 24. And in chapter 24, in verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant, 24:7, and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do. And then the last two words, and obey. See? They're going to do everything and obey. But no, they aren't even hearing. They aren't hearing. They didn't want to hear as we should. That's why the Old Testament, they had Moses, you know, and Moses, you'd hear it for us. You talk to God, and we'll talk to you, and that gives us freedom to talk to anybody we want, because you're a human just like we are. Now, so, Deuteronomy chapter 4. They knew they were supposed to obey, so there's no question about that. But they didn't obey. That was the problem. Deuteronomy, if I can, in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. Are you going to pay attention? They could, after 40 years in the wilderness now, they could pay attention, and they do for a little bit. So now, back to Jeremiah chapter 11. We read Jeremiah 7:23. Obey. Obey. I'll do it. See if it's still there. Jeremiah chapter 7. And in Jeremiah and chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 23. And this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all my way, and all the ways that I have commanded you, and it may be well with you. Obey. Hear my voice. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing God, and are you taking heed, paying attention to God? That's all. What is obey? Did you hear God? Then I want to obey what I hear. I want to follow what I hear. I want to exercise what I hear. Chapter 11. And in chapter 11, I'm picking up, you'll catch it. It's just over and over again. Chapter 4. Chapter 11, verse 4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. And we just read that in Exodus 19 and verse 5. And here it is repeated again in all the later history. They are to remind of what God told them. If you just listen to me and pay attention to what I'm after, and you'll, in other words, you're going down the road, you want to know which way to get to where you're going, and the GPS, something says, GPS says, turn right in 35 feet. Okay. So you're going down the road and turn right. And you don't have to turn right, you could turn left. But it told you to turn right. Did you hear it? If you heard it, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be. If you hear God, you'll end up where you're supposed to be, if you have an ear to hear. But if you don't hear, then that involves what? Obedience. That's what it involves. Obeying God, paying attention to the directions. And you do that with your things and tell you that. Now, And I have one in my car. I never used it yet. I did use it once or twice. Jeanette knows how to do that stuff a little. But I didn't use it because I knew where I was going. And Jeanette said, let me show you how it works. And she pushed the button in. I knew where I was going. I knew how to get there. And I was going down Route 9. And it says, turn left. Turn left at the next off. I said, I don't want to go left. What do I want to go left for? I mean, I said, and then it says something else. I said, turn that thing off. Turn that off. It doesn't tell me the right stuff. I don't know. You may have the same thing sometime. Anyway, now, so here, Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 12 and in verse 17. But if they will not, N-O-T, obey, I will utterly pluck them up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. Chapter 26, to give thee a little bit more. Chapter 26 in Jeremiah and 26, and picking up, please, in verse 13. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. In other words, if you keep going that way, you're going to end up in the wrong direction, and it's going to cost you. And God keeps caring. He's caring, but he isn't going to stop. It isn't like the same when you're with him, then you go, the Spirit of God led us, and the Spirit of God keeps us all the way to wherever we're going. But if you're going to do it the way Israel's way, you aren't going to pay attention to God, you're not going to get to where you're going, and you're not going to get there safely. So God's caring. So Hebrews, we did Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9. God doesn't care. God does care. But he doesn't stop. You're going to keep going, and you're going to reap what you sow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, So here's God's wonderful, and here's the dispensations, as you know. Just look at them. Here's the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:17. We did. What do they need to do? Obey. Obey. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the garden. What did they do in the conscience? Conscience. Conscience. Abel, Cain, the Noahic flood. What were they to do? They were to understand, to do what God told them to do, sacrifice. They weren't. Cain wasn't going to do it, and they weren't going to do it. Thus, Genesis flood. We got human government come along, and human government after the Noahic flood, and here's the dispensation of human government, the government time, and the Tower of Babel, the Tower in the City, and the Tower in the City, what? Were absolutely idolatrous, a negative understanding of their obedience to God. They weren't going to obey God at all, the Tower in the City. So we got Tower in the City. And then we come to the promise of Abraham. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. That's why he's going to make it. But Abraham didn't. The law came, which we just did, with Moses, and the people didn't want to obey. They don't want to obey. They aren't going to. So negative, it's all negative. It isn't going to come out. And therefore the grace, but grace is being rejected. Has been rejected. Revelation 17, the church is a monstrous monster. God takes the remnant out, like he took Enoch out of the flood, before the flood. And here we are, grace and wrath and the kingdom. What are we going to do in the kingdom? Are they going to obey? No. We're going to do that coming up on Wednesday with Jeremiah. But what are we going to do? What's it? My law is in their heart. My law. Well, what is my law in their heart? And what about the kingdom? Well, they don't obey. They got an old nature, not everyone, of course, but they have an old nature that are born into that during that time. They could live 950 years as long as they behave themselves. And when the devil is loose, they're going to rebel against God. Why? Because they're going to go and that God rules with a rod of iron. Obviously, if you're in the military or anything, something of discipline or whatever, and you're there and you want to be part of it or fit in or whatever, survive it, well, then you obey. You do what you're supposed to do and you obey. But your heart isn't in it. Your heart isn't in it. But you obey, because that's the only way you're going to get your everything that you want. But your heart isn't there. So you're going to obey. Why? Because you lose out if you don't. The kingdom is the rule with a rod of iron. And with a rod of iron, no one. You don't rob the bank when 35 SWAT men are there with machine guns looking at you. It's the wrong time to rob the bank. It's the wrong time. What? Do you want to rob the bank? Yeah. Do you want the money in the bank? Yes. But you aren't going to rob the bank because you're restricted. You better behave yourself. That's what the kingdom is. Behave yourself with a rod of iron, as you'll see. Because that's what we've got coming up here, if we can get there. Wow. Get there. They're going to want. Everyone's going to know. You'll never have to tell anybody about God in the kingdom. Never have to tell anybody. The law. Anyway, I got to get ahead. Anyway, in the process of that, oh boy. That's the Old Testament. Got the Old Testament? You either hear and obey. Hear and obey. Simple. Is that true in the New Testament? Yes. And I'll do one thing, I gotta close. Over to Romans. Romans in chapter 10. Remember, the little word obey is the word to hear. Romans chapter 10. Pick it up, please, in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed, Do you see the word obeyed? That's the word here. They have not obeyed the gospel, the good news. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They didn't. They didn't hear. The word obey is to hear. They didn't hear. They didn't thus obey. Verse 17. So then, faith, what body of truth, to be believed, it's the little word article, the in front of it, the body of truth to be believed. So then, faith, the faith, cometh by hearing, hearing God's word, and hearing by the word of God. Do you see the word hearing in verse 17? Is the same word, I'll even do better than that. Verse 16, I'm going to follow with me. They have not all obeyed, note that word, the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Report is the same word as obey. Verse 17, they hearing is the same word as obey and report, all the same word. So you got a complete unit. And verse 17, so then the faith cometh by hearing, having God's word, and hearing by the word of God. How do we obey? We obey because we hear. We have an ear to hear. What does God say? He that hath an ear to hear. Well, I don't want to hear. Then you don't. You don't. It isn't this thing you're going to hit you like with a rod of iron, like in the kingdom. No, you have to have an ear to hear. I don't want to hear. And the people don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. They don't. Anyway, got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. A little bit. It's a wonderful thing. God said, listen, the legislation of the Ten Commandments and all the judgments and all this, everything, I'm not going to legislate anything anymore. I'm just going to go and write it in your heart. And you'll never have to read it, and you'll never have to look it up. I'm going to put it right in you. That's what I'm going to do. And you'll know. Everyone will know me. That doesn't mean everyone's saved. Everyone will know me. I got to quit. Anyway, thank you.